Welcome, everybody, to Juwanza for Life. My name is Juwanza. Hope everybody's having a great day. I know that I am. I'm thankful. You know, I want everybody to just take a moment and just think of all the things that you have to be thankful for. You know, a lot of times during the course of a day, little things pop up and you might find yourself being a little, you know, frustrated by it, or you might bemoan your lot in life or whatever, but all you got to do is just look at television. There's all kinds of stuff going on in this world that, and there are a lot of people out here that would trade places with you in a minute. So before you start bemoaning your situation, just take a moment and be thankful for what you got. If you're listening to this show, as a matter of fact, you got a lot to be thankful for, because either you got a phone, either if you're listening by phone, or you got a computer if you're listening by computer. So just those two things alone are just things to be, to add to the list of things to be thankful for. So you got your health, you got your strength, and this show is going to endeavor to keep it that way. If you've got your health, we want to make sure that you keep it that way. And if you don't have your health, then we're going to give you tips, tools, and advice, and show you how you can change things around so that you can get back to 100%. This show is also known as Health, Wealth, and Divine, because that's what we talk about. We talk about your health, we talk about entrepreneurial endeavors, and we also talk about your divinity. So, without further ado, let's get to why you tuned in today. Somehow, some way, you heard that King Coy Dunstan was going to be on the line today, and he certainly is, and I'm very, very thankful, as always, every time I have an opportunity to speak to this brother. You know, there are a lot of people that have callings in life. I don't know, those who are listening, do you know what your calling is? Everybody has something that they were put here to do, and there are a lot of people who have found out what that is. There are other people that are still searching, still trying to figure it out. Why am I here? Why am I here? Well, my guest today found his calling, and it is very fortunate for us that he did find it, because as a result of him finding his calling, he can help us, he can help keep us healthy until we find ours, okay? And so part of my calling, I can tell you right now, part of my calling is to help share this message that we're going to share today with you from my special guest. Destiny is something else. I mean, and this brother and myself were destined to meet because I was destined to help him share this information that he's going to be sharing today. If you haven't guessed by now, my special guest today is a regular on Juwanza for Life. Actually, he was one of the very, very first people on the team to link up with us and to push this holistic health message out there, and that is King Coy Dunstan. I'm just very, very fortunate, humbled, and honored to have another opportunity to speak with my brother. Today, we're going to be talking about food, fasting, and faith. Get your mind right, okay? Get your mind right. Food, fasting, and faith. And I'll also be telling you about a symposium that's going to be coming up that you don't want to miss. King Coy is going to be a part of that, and I'll give you all of that information during the course of the show. But let's get to the show, and let's get to my special guest. I'm honored to have him again. King Coy, my brother, welcome back to Juwanza for Life. It's always a pleasure to speak with you, sir. How you doing today?
Good evening to you and your family, and God bless you. How is everybody?
Everybody is wonderful, sir. I'm just, again, honored to have an opportunity. And you say, how's everybody? Well, because we know you, everything's going pretty good because, you know, as far as health-wise, we're doing good, you know, because we follow the instructions that you give, and we always refer people to you every time, you know, somebody's dealing with something. We, you know, try to figure out how we can get them in contact with Brother Coy because you know, when you talk to people out here today about a lot of different things, there's always people out here that have opinions about stuff. You know, on any given topic, you can talk to a thousand people, get on one topic and get a thousand different things. Which means, if you talk to a thousand different people on one topic and you get a thousand different answers, that means somebody in that group don't know what they're talking about. So when we go for day, encounter many, many people who have a lot of opinions on stuff, and they just don't really know what they're talking about. So, and when it comes to holistic health, it's no different. there are thousands of people you can talk to and say, oh, I know about that stuff. Oh, I knew somebody that tried that. And unfortunately, these people share their lack of knowledge with other people who know less than they do. And that's unfortunate because these people listen to them. And so I'm just pleased to have an opportunity tonight and to be able to share with my listeners somebody who knows what they're talking about. My brother has a testimony, everybody. If you've never heard it, you'll see why I say that he knows what he's talking about. They say experience is the best teacher. And Brother Coy has got a testimony, and I've asked you to share, Brother Coy, I'll ask you to share it, and you all will see that you will understand why I say he knows what he's talking about. Yes, he did read books. Yes, he did do research, but his experience came from firsthand, on-hands application. Brother Coy, could you please share with our listeners how you got into the holistic health industry? You've been doing this work, healing, for over 35 years. People don't just wake up when they're children and say, I want to be a holistic healer when I grow up. Something normally pushes them into that. How did you get pushed into this work?
Well, back in 1980, I was in Washington, D.C., just finishing law school, and I was going to take a break after the I graduated. And my break was going home and spending some time with my mother and father. And when I got there, my mother had just gone to the doctor, and the doctor had told her to go to Duke University as fast as she could so that they could determine what was going on with her. She said she had an itching and a burning all through her body, and didn't feel right. So the next morning, my dad and I got up, and we took her to Duke University Hospital in Durham. We sat there all day waiting for them to tell us a prognosis, and it came back that she had cancer of the breast, the liver, and the colon. So they kept her there a while, did what they could, I guess, whatever they used to do with patients back in the 80s. And after about 3 weeks in the hospital, they said that they'd done all they could do and that the only thing left was take chemotherapy or she could go home. At that time, I didn't know much about health or the body or anything like that, but the prognosis led me to believe that she asked me what would I do if I was her. I said, well, I would go home and get ready to meet my maker. You know, the doctor says you're going to die, so let's go home and we'll make you as comfortable as we can and until you leave this planet. So she took my advice. We got up. We went home. Never did take the chemotherapy, and now after that, I felt an obligation to do whatever I could. I had this inquisitive mind that was going around, and I'd say something was not right with this picture, so I started studying and researching and looking for what was going on. I ran into a company called Nature Sunshine that had information about how you can reverse disease and heal the body and all the things you could do, like fasting and changing the diet to a living. And, you know, all the information that you needed to kind of start you on the way. So I learned as much as I could about it, and I started applying it with my mother and kind of started working. So after about a month or so, she was feeling better, and I said, well, I guess there's some healing after all. So she went back to the doctor. They told her that they don't know why she was still alive or what she was doing, but whatever she was doing, to keep doing it. So after that, about 2 or 3 months later, they said they couldn't find any sign of the cancer. And about 10 years later, it was about 10 years later before she actually died. And I was convinced that, you know, we didn't have to die sick, that you could do something to reverse disease. And I just felt that I was on to something, and that's when I got involved in the health food industry. I opened up a little store and trying to tell everybody that I could, that this is, You don't have to die sick, and if you're sick, you know, you can get yourself well. So all of that began to take off, and everything began to work. And 37 years now later, I'm still doing the same thing, and God has been good to me, and I thank him. But the message is that you don't have to be sick. You don't have to die sick. And if you are sick, you can do something to reverse it. And that's what I do. I share with people what I know that they can do to begin to heal the body and to bring it back to some normal state. And that's why I do what I do, and that's, I've been doing it, like I said, now for 37 years, and ain't got tired yet.
You know, that's so amazing, Brother Court. Excuse me. 37 years. You were doing this before it's, well, like, I'm not even going to say it's popular in the black community. I wouldn't use
the word
popular.
Yeah, it was just kind of catching on, yeah. It was just kind of catching on back in the 80s, and there was a few people around in the business, but this was in the form of co-ops and, you know, selling natural fruits and vegetables and that kind of thing, natural food, I'd say. That's kind of how it's referred to today. And from there, I got into the herbs. I got into using the herbs, identifying the herbs we need to address whatever condition you had, and got into the teaching the fasting and teaching the exercises to do. And we learned more and more as we went along, and today I'm still here. So,
you know, when
that's kind of my story in a nutshell.
When I think about 37 years, that's almost four decades of work, of helping people. You have to be sold out, totally committed to do something for that long, to do the same thing for that long. And I'm sure that in that time that you've experienced a lot of emotions, from total exhilaration when seeing somebody take your advice, your recommendations, follow your recommendations and get well, and then even to possibly even disappointment when you know you have the answer for somebody, and for whatever reason, they just either they don't believe you or don't have the discipline to hold on until the miracle comes. It's really not a miracle, because if you give the body what it needs, it's like your car. If you give your car the gas that it needs, it's not a miracle if the car runs, you know.
Right.
But
just
if you give the body what it it's that's the corresponding reaction to giving the body what it needs, is that it's going to function. You know, it's interesting because a lot of us, we don't even think about health until we lose it. You don't think about walking until you're in a wheelchair. You know, you don't even think, it doesn't even cross your mind that it's truly a blessing to have the use of your limbs and all of that. And over the past almost four decades, you have seen people who have actually taken your recommendations and gotten well, and then those who might not have taken your recommendations, and not only did they not get well, they're no longer here.
That's correct.
So for you to have been on the path that long and sharing information, I'm sure that it can at times be a thankless job. So I just want to take a moment and personally thank you for all of those people who have not thanked you. And, you know, for all of the work done over the years, because I know it cannot be an easy job. I mean, I know what it's like when I'm just trying to tell people about holistic health and, you know, get the reaction. So for you to have hung in there as long as you have, I hope that I get to the point where I can just have a smidget of as much patience as you have had to have. You'll be doing what you're doing.
It takes a lot of prayer, yes. A lot of prayer. But it is possible, and you just have to keep doing it. And those that will come, and those that won't will go. So keep it moving.
Sure. Well, tonight, everybody, we're going to be talking about get your mind right. Food, fasting, and faith. Now, speaking of get your mind right, this is a mental healing, is just as much mental, I'm sure, as it is physical. Fortunately, I haven't had anything major to have to heal from. I share that I, you know, got hit by a car and had torn ligaments in my knee and went and saw Coy and got, you know, better just like almost overnight. But I mean, just in terms of somebody saying, oh, you got cancer or heart trouble or, you know, anything like that, I haven't had that experience. But during Coy's testimony, he shared that he cured his mother, or used the herbs and the food that God gave us to reverse or alleviate the condition known as cancer in both of his mother's breast, her liver, and her colon. Could you talk about the mental aspect of that, boy? Because in addition to the healing that had to take, that ultimately took place in her body, it had to start, it had to have its origin in her mind. She had to get her mind right. She had to prepare her mind for the healing that was going to take place. And until she got her mind right first, nothing else was going to happen, correct?
That's correct. That's how that's the process. You have to believe that you can, and then know that you can, and then do what you can to make that difference. And that's basically the simplest way to put it. If you don't believe it, it's not going to happen. If you don't have faith in it, it's not going to happen. And if you don't have the support that you need, you may find it difficult to get through what you have to go through to understand, to get your mind right, so that you can do what's necessary to correct or reverse any disease that you may have. So, yes, it starts in the mind. And oftentimes the mind is so cluttered until we can't think straight. It's like you are on alcohol or drug or some kind of under some kind of influence, and you would know that because it's innate in us that we have to we know the truth when we hear it. It's acting on it that's the problem, and you won't act on it until you make up your mind to do what either take the directions that you're given or take it upon yourself to find out and prove that what you believe and know is true. And once you get on that path, you're about 90% to the way of healing your own self, yes. And that's the only way you heal yourself, yeah.
Well, now, there may be somebody out there that's listening, and they may say, well, it's easier said than done. You know, you might have somebody that takes this information and they run with it. They hear it, they're like, that's it, that's what I've been waiting for. I'm calling him tomorrow, and they act on it, and they do, and they start the process, and they start that healing process, and before you know it, their condition is gone. And then you have people who they hear it, it makes sense to them, they want to do it, and they plan to do it. Well, or they say they're going to do it. They say they're going to plan to do it. But for whatever reason, they just have difficulty, quote, getting their mind right, getting their mind prepared to do this or undergo this healing process. You've seen people come, excuse me, into your establishment, I'm sure, at different levels of health or lack thereof, and in different levels of mental clarity. Different people have different, you know, some people are able to say something and do it. You know, they have that stick-to-itiveness. They have that what it takes to say, okay, I'm going to make a commitment to my own health, whereas some others may not have that. So to those that don't have it but want it, how would you direct them? They say, listen, I know I got to get my mind right, but I don't know how to get my mind right. How do I do it? You know, what would you suggest to them?
Well, I would probably come at them from a position of, well, what is it that you're doing that you don't want to let go of? It's something that you're doing. Your disease really is a spiritual condition, and it's something that's holding you in that condition to the place to where you cannot, or through fear. You may have gone to the doctor, and the doctor has said this, and you have your faith in the doctor, and you believe that if you don't do what the doctor say to do, you're going to die. So you're operating out of a position of fear. You haven't really gotten to a place to where you actually know the truth and know what to do to bring it about in your own mind, so that your mind is strengthened to a place to where you are under the influence of some other spirit. Most of us have some kind of an addictive behavior that keeps us where we are, and we can't get out of it until we give up that addiction. And we are, because we are creatures of habit. Oftentimes, we just, through fear, we just can't give it up, or it's the only comfort that we have in what we're going through. So we stay in this condition of addiction to the point to where it kills us. But when you get to a place to where you know that what the things that you are doing is killing you, you have to get to the next step and say, well, I'm going to stop doing this, and I'm going to go the other way and learn the right thing to do and do it. And that oftentimes that's the most difficult part, and that's what keeps us stuck where we are. So the first thing you need to do is clear up your mind. And oftentimes the best way to do that is to cut off all the things you're doing in a way that the things you know you're doing wrong, you got to come to a place to get the strength or the faith or the courage to cut it off. And oftentimes in your own self, you can't do that. So that's why we go into this the fasting part, because fasting is the way to strengthen your spirit. Fasting is a way to show you the spirit and show you the truth. And fasting is a way to give you the strength to do what you need to do. And that's directly connected to your brain, because if you can't fast, you can die. But fasting is a way to heal the body. The spiritual rejuvenation fast, you're going to bombard the body with what you know is right. We can't eat a lot of cooked food. We can't do the things that we like to do, smoking and drinking or whatever you do that got you into this situation. Eating too much is also a problem. So first of all, you got to decide what you need to eat, and you don't get a lot of direction on that, so oftentimes you have to listen to someone that can give you what kind of diet you need to be on, or just actually the best way to get on a diet is to stop everything that you're doing, and that's the fast, so that you can begin to retrain your brain, retrain your taste buds, and retrain your thinking so that you can strengthen yourself so you're strong enough to do the right thing. And we have to deal with the element of fear, because fear can either motivate you or kill you. And the idea is that we have to learn how to contain fear in a way, or distinguish between a good fear and a bad fear. And it's often hard to do that within your own self. And fasting is another way to strengthen your faith so that you can overcome fear, or the bad fear that keeps you locked into your disease in a way that you can't break away. It's like an addiction. You can't break away from that addiction. You got to make up your mind. You got to be the support mechanisms around you, and you got to be able to feed your mind the things that are positive and good, so that you're better able to do the right thing. It's just kind of a process you have to go through, and going through the process is important, because first of all, there is a process, and you have to learn the process, and if you go through that process, you're going to come out on the other side about as good as anyone can under any circumstances. So handling the fear, being willing to take directions or get the understanding that we need to defeat the fear, and then relying on that belief or that knowing to overcome whatever you're faced with. And sometimes you need support to do that. Sometimes people have a mind that they can just go into that place and make that correction, because It's nothing really new. It's stuff we've always heard that, you know, eating a lot of animal flesh is not good. Too much of anything you shouldn't do. All of those things we know deep down within us is true, but oftentimes we are hooked into a situation where we cannot break free of whatever the condition is, and oftentimes those conditions create the stress that leads to the development of the disease. So we have to learn how to deal with fear, deal with stress in a way that we can turn it into a positive thing so that the body will respond and give the body what it needs so that we will be able to give the body the strength to renew itself and come out. And most people know that. It's just coming to a place to do it is you know, knowing what to do and doing it is two different things, and we have to get to a place to where we know what to do and do it, and that's the bottom line on how we heal the body. We have to get the mind right, get the body right, and then everything else will follow.
Let's talk about the word stress for a moment, if we can, because that's a word that it's hard to describe the word, but and I would like to refer people to a book by Dr. Raul Nefer Amen called Stress Free for Life. I mean, awesome book, and in it he takes the position that while many people, and there are many systems out here designed to reduce stress or relieve stress, his position is no, you don't want to reduce it, you don't want to relieve it, you want to eliminate it, because any stress is not good. And that studies have shown that when a person is, for example, angry, fearful, you know, upset, you know, could be jealous, roadway, whatever, what all of these different emotions that we consider to be natural because we are, quote, human, end quote, in fact, that that the premise is wrong, that the foundation upon which we are approaching life is wrong, but in fact, we're not human, but that human, that state of human is an evolutionary process. We are, in fact, divine, because when we take the position that we're human, then all of the issues that come along with that, we rationalize and brush it off and excuse it to our humanness. Well, what did you expect? Yes, of course I'm angry. Come on, I'm only human. You know, oh, yes, I did get jealous and I killed that person. Why? Because I'm only human. You know, I'm only this, I'm only human, which, and that humanity, or that state of being human becomes the excuse for all of the things that befall us, where, in fact, if we took the position that we are divine by nature, okay, made in the image and likeness of God, then we would set a higher bar, especially when it's been proven scientifically that being angry has negative and physical, negative physical responses in my body, that my body's now going to produce cortisol and other harmful chemicals that are going to affect me in a negative way. So when we talk about stress, when we say that, oh, this person stressed me out, or this situation stressed me out, then it has to be true for everybody. If stress is something that is external to us, then that same stimuli that says, okay, this is stress, this is stress, that same stimuli has to be the same for everybody. The bar has to be the same for everybody. So if we eliminate stress, if we eliminate anger, if we eliminate fear, eliminate these things that cause these harmful chemicals to flow through our bloodstream, ultimately causing our demise, then we, in fact, can experience a much better state of health, and we can think more clearly, you know, which is going to allow us to receive messages from God. We can't receive messages from God if we're upset, if we're angry, if we're fearful, if we're jealous, if we're all of these things, because these emotions are going to stand in the way. So if you could talk about just the stress from the standpoint of that It is a response. It's the stress response to a situation because, I'll just give an example. Let's say a person worked in a call center, hypothetically. They worked in a call center where calls are coming in, God knows how many, 1,000 miles a minute, right? Because every time you put down one call, another one comes in. One person says, oh, my God, this job just stresses me out. Another person is sitting there calm, cool, collected. You know, they love coming to work every day. Don't bother them at all. Then what does that say? It says that the job in and of itself, it cannot be stressful. It can't be the job to be the response. You know, so could you talk about that just from the standpoint of the harmful effects of being stressed and how stress causes these conditions that we ultimately have to heal from?
Well, when you're dealing with stress, yes, most of the time we have it's under circumstances where we really can't do any. We feel like we can't do anything about it. And that stress can break down your immune system and break down your body into a state of disease. But on the other side, you can have, say, a righteous stress, whereas you are angry with what causes you to go through whatever you go through with stress, and this anger can be strong enough to make you or motivate you to do what's right. So it's two sides to anger. It's two sides to disease. And the disease, it comes from your inability to properly to deal with stress. You can't internalize a stress that's when you let stress affect you negatively, it means that something is internally wrong with you. Either you don't have enough fortitude or enough faith or enough whatever you need to get through that stress. And on the other hand, if you wanted to make your turn that stress into good stress, then you have to actually fight against the stressful side that causes you to go into a state of disease in a righteous way, so that you turn that negative effect of stress into a positive effect of stress, and you begin to you become stronger. So that sitting at the call center every day, people call in, you know that's where you work, and you don't internalize it, so you just answer the phone and give whatever the questions they ask, you just give them an answer. If you have to go through some kind of discussion with them about it, or even, you know, don't get into an argument with it, but maybe even worry about protecting yourself to a place to where you don't let it take you off your comfort zone or out of your comfort zone to a place to where it angers you or bring about all these negative effects that comes about stress. Learning how to do that is something that we're not really taught how to do, but it's a learned thing, and it's sometimes you need help with that. But the stress side of it is what motivates you to do the right thing, or motivate you to run from it. If you want to get motivated to do the right thing from stress, then you have to understand what the negative side of stress is, so you don't internalize that and begin to break down your internal system, so that you get sick. You have to learn how to let it go and understand that, you know, everybody's not the same, and everybody's not going to respond the same way, and you have to learn how to respond to that so that you don't internalize it, because only you can bring that stress into you. No one else can do that. You have to let it in, and the way you think about things, the way you believe things, what you believe and what you know, often control that, and if you don't get the right understanding or the right knowledge about how to deal with that, it can actually make you sick, and that's really where most disease in the body comes from. It comes from not being able to deal with that stress. So you have to you have to have a righteous fight against stress so that the stress that you create in your body is good stress. It helps you relax. It helps you, keeps you from going off the handle. It maintains your emotional state so that you don't go up or down. And you have to do that in a way that you don't alienate what you're trying to do. In other words, you don't want to, if you're trying to convince somebody of something, you don't want to start yelling at them or beating them over the head about what they do or what they don't do. You have to reason it out so that they get it and that you don't upset yourself in a way that no one is going to listen to you if you go off and start yelling and screaming at people. You have to, doing that, it reduces the stress. It keeps the conversation under control, and the conversation goes two ways. So you have to learn how to listen. Listening is a big part of that, so that when you listen, you're better able to respond to the condition that's in front of you that's going to create the stress. So it's a lot about the how you feel about yourself, whether or not what you believe, whether or not what you believe is going to cause you to get out of control with your stress, or to be able to maintain that stress and relieve the stress in the other person, so that you can come to a calm conversation and make a positive result out of the information that you're sharing. It may not resolve everything, but at least you don't have to go to a place to where you're yelling and screaming or going out of control or upsetting your own self. And that's something you have to learn to do. And oftentimes some people learn it, some people don't. But if when you're talking to someone about their life or about a disease that they have, and they tell me that that the doctor said this and the doctor said that, I would come back and say, well, what do you say? You have to understand, do you believe in a doctor? Or do you believe in yourself? Or do you believe in a God? Do you have faith? All those things goes into healing your body. So a doctor giving you a pill or cutting on you is not going to heal you. You got to know in your mind that these things I must do if I want to be well. I have to make some changes, and these are the changes I'm going to make. And whether the doctor agrees with it or not, you can talk it over with your doctor. But if your doctor don't understand what you're saying, or can't have no comprehension of what you're saying, then you probably better find another doctor, or either bring in someone that can sit down with you and your doctor and work out some kind of understanding about what's best for you to do. You know, oftentimes you go to the doctor and they tell you they got this prognosis and they want to rush you right into something, and that's not a good idea. You want to think about it. You don't want to operate out of fear. If you go to the doctor and tell you you're going to die, you feel like if you don't do what they say right now, you're going to die the next minute. That's not the case. Mm-hmm. It took you a while to get in that condition. And you have to understand you need to get your mind right so that you can begin to reverse that condition, so that you don't aggregate the problem, aggregate the problem by doing something that's really not necessary or
exacerbate,
really,
I think,
not,
is what you were looking for.
Yeah, exacerbate. To do something just because you believe that it's going to make you better. It's not good unless you know that what you're doing is going to actually make a difference or make a correction in the condition that you're dealing with. So a lot of that has to do with you have to start with yourself is what I'm trying to say, and you have to do it not from a base of fear, but from knowing and getting information that you need to make the right decisions.
Well, let's talk about fasting for a moment, Brother Coy, because I think a lot of people, when it comes to fasting, they hear it, they hear the word fasting, they have an idea of what it is, and we've even done shows on fasting and how to prepare for fasting, what to do leading up to the fast, how to come off of the fast. But I don't know of many people that actually look forward to fasting. They know, even the people on the holistic health path, they're like, okay, I know fasting is good. I know I have to do it, you know, if I want to maintain a relative semblance of health. But if a person is trained to fast from the time they are young, can you imagine what type of society we could create if we created a society of fasters and meditators? I mean,
yeah,
people just actually fasting, being taught how to fast from the time that they are young. Because if you can fast, if you cannot eat food, if you can stop eating food, you can stop doing anything. If it's something that you're trying to quit, some habit you're trying to break, whether it's alcohol, drugs, cigarettes, whatever the case is, if you can stop eating food, you can stop eating anything. You can stop anything. Would you agree with that?
If you can stop eating food, yes. You can stop smoking. You can stop drinking. You have to. That's part of the fast. And oftentimes we fail at fasting because we fear what's going to happen. What's going to happen if I don't get it, if I don't eat three meals a day, or every time I see a cookie, I don't pick it up and eat it. It's oftentimes we fear the fact that we don't want to go without. We feel like we've been neglected and misused all our lives, and we're not going to add to that by not giving me what I want. So we create a condition or a frame of mind that's antithetical to fasting, and it's not productive in terms of where we want to go. But I think the most important thing about fasting is to, first of all, set yourself a mission. You have to know why you are fasting. Once you know why you are fasting, then you can work around that to a place to where you can maybe build up enough strength. And the preparation for fasting, purpose for fasting, the preparation for fasting, and the carrying out of the fast, which when carrying out a fast, you should probably initially, if you're just beginning, set a definite day, 1 day, 3 days, 4 days, 40 days. I would say make fasting a part of your life and make each fast a little longer until you build your strength to the place to where you can go without food as long as you want. But understanding how to fast and preparing your body to fast is probably the most important key. And at the same time, you are building your mind, you are strengthening your mind so that you can begin to deal with whatever you are confronted with in your everyday life. Chances are nowadays most of the food that we are eating is processed in a way that it's almost addictive. It's like a drug. We got to have it. It's like fiending for this food, and that's most any food nowadays. It's mostly man-made or processed in some way, so that it encourages you to want more. So we have to train our bodies to to reject things that are not in our best interest to do. So if you find yourself you're eating every day pretty much the same thing, you want to change that. And fasting is a way to change your intake of food so that one food eating a certain food for a period of time, it won't have time to build up and create stress in your body and cause you to have disease. So the most important thing is to understand why you're fasting. While you are fasting, you are determining what you need to do and what you're going to do in terms of eating, how you're going to change your eating in a way that it would help facilitate the detoxing or the changing of your mind from one food to another, so that you don't go back into the same thing when you finally decide to come off the fast. You don't go back to doing the same thing. Each fast you should do something a little different. It may not be everything different, but it's the major thing that you identify that you need to deal with. Each time that you fast, you should get further and further from that thing, and eventually you will be able to overcome whatever it is that you are doing that causing you to go into stress and into disease, and eventually into death. So you can do a lot in your own mind to create that situation in your life, and fasting is a way to do that, yes.
You mentioned a 40-day fast. Now, would that be something that would be more from a healing on a healing agenda for somebody who is, say, they come to you with stage 3 cancer or something? You know, you might it seems a bit long for the average person to even conceive of fasting for a month and 10 days. Would
right.
that be that for somebody that was ill, or let's say, would you recommend a fast that long for somebody who just came from the doctor and got a good bill of health?
If you have a disease and you want to fast it, you want to fast till you are healthy, it would take about 40 days. But it doesn't mean that you're going to deprive yourself of eating your whole 40 days. Out of that 40 days, if you could do a good 10-day or 2 weeks with no food, period, I would say that's a good idea. But if you are just beginning to fast and you have some kind of disease that you've never had before, I would probably take you a little slow and say, well, just start on the weekend. Just don't eat on Saturday, or don't eat on Sunday, or don't eat on Sunday and Saturday for about a month, and begin to take some herbs to detox from whatever you need to detox from. So there's some colon cleansers, basically. That's what they do. Get the toxins in that you've accumulated in your system from all the things you've done wrong. The colon cleanser begins to move that out. So you don't want to go into a big fast right off until you are sure that you have done all you can to get as many toxins out of the body that you can. Because if you go into if you're sick, or if you are having some kind of challenge in life, even it can be relationships, you don't want to just cut it off, because your body is not strong enough to deal with that yet. So you have to strengthen your body, and you do that by building self up over time. Begin to withdraw from whatever you are trying to conquer, and you let that for a day or two, and then each week you can add a day if you like until you get up to 3 or 4 days. But the primary thing first is to flush your body by eating raw, drinking your water, getting your rest, doing all the things you know you need to do. And you got to have enough space to do that. If you're confronted with a stressful situation every day in your life, you got to go to work, you got to do this, you got to that, you're going to have a hard time fasting, because you're not committed to yourself. You are committed to what you're doing. And that's the whole problem with fasting. You have to be able to separate what you do from you, and put yourself first for a change. The greatest love of all, they say, is to love yourself. And oftentimes that's the process. You have to get to the place to where you love yourself, so that you don't feel deprived when you know you are doing what you need to do to make yourself stronger. So I would probably start a person that's just got a diagnosis that they're sick. I would just say, well, we're going to learn how to fast, and then we'll go into a fast. So it may take 2 or 3 months just to learn how to fast, and you are eliminating certain foods, you are eliminating the things out of your life you know you shouldn't do. You are detoxing, and when you are to a place to where you feel strong enough, then you are ready to maybe fast for 40 days. You can work up to that. But you may not want to start out with it, because these toxins, if you don't get them out, they're going to recirculate, and that could really be harmful to you. It can make you, it can really exacerbate the problem to a place to where you can actually make yourself sicker. So you want to get as many of these toxins out of your body from the food, from the things you know you shouldn't do, from your relationships. You want to get control of as much of that as you can. Because even in a relationship, if you don't deal with that relationship and you get into a 7-day fast and you go off because of something that you haven't dealt with, while you're at your 7th day of a fast, it can be deadly. So you want to strengthen yourself and strengthen your mind to a place to where whatever happened is not gonna overtake you, to a place to where you are going out. So you want to make sure that you have your surroundings under control, that you have yourself under control, first of all, and that you have your surroundings under control. And you do that by explaining to people, I'm doing this and doing that. I would say that's a better idea than not telling them. You may do better not telling them, because if they find out you're doing it, they're going to aggravate you by bringing all the things you don't like into the situation, into your environment, and making it more harder for you to do that. So you have to make a decision about whether or not you're going to tell someone. I would think that it's better to tell people that I'm going to be going through this for a while, and just let me be. And I'll still meet whatever obligations I have as best I can, but I may not be able to do everything that you want me to do, because my body is going to be going through some changes, and I may not feel like it, or you may not. I may be a little aggravated sometimes because all these toxins are coming out, but just bear with me. Or you can do it with me. We'll do it together. If it's someone you got to be around, it's probably best to try to get them, bring them along, and do it with them. If you can get them to that place, or if they're ready to do that. But sometimes when you're around other people, you have to. It makes it a little difficult to stay focused on where you are going when they're doing. Everybody around you are doing the eating and drinking and doing everything they want to do, and you say you are fasting. So you have to.
Mm-hmm.
You have to plan how you're going to do this so that you don't run into those situations that might weaken you and cause you to fall off. And oftentimes it's a good thing to be around like-minded people. So you spend as much time around like-minded people, either people that are doing the fast with you or people that will encourage you in your fast. Instead of being around opposite people that can actually pull you off the fast. And it's pretty easy to get pulled off when you have no discipline in terms of not doing certain things or not eating certain things. So you wanna think about your fast. You wanna develop your plan, and you wanna go through with it as comfortable as you can. Sometimes you may just need to take a vacation and go off in the woods by yourself somewhere and just sit until you feel you got the strength to go back into a situation and not let it control you. You control it. So fasting is a way to do all of that, but the proper way to do it is even more important, because it is important that at least you detox your body before you try to do a long fast. And once you get to the place to where you feel like you're clean enough, the fasting will be a lot easier. You won't miss your food. You won't miss the things that you generally engage in that causes you that is causing your problem. So you learn how to build your strength so that you can be a stronger soldier, I say, on the battlefield, so that you can be an example rather than the example of the positive side of fasting.
You know, I wish we had more time than what we have, because, again, we could do a whole five-hour thing on fasting.
Yeah.
Because, again, a lot of times people, when it comes to fasting, they can't even imagine going a week without food. But as with anything, there are people who never thought that they would become vegetarian, or never thought that they could ever stop eating meat, but you did it. You know, so for those who are already on the holistic health path, you might be a vegetarian and you say, you know what, I want to take it to another level. I want to become vegan, you know.
Yeah.
Then this is the show to tune into. And I want to recommend another show as well. WPFW, Dr. Ted Watkins is a holistic health physician. He's got a practice in Washington, D.C. I want to recommend that you tune into WPF, that's P like Paul, WPF like Frank, W, that's www.wpfw.org, every Monday from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You'll hear Dr. Ted Watkins. I mean, if you're just endeavoring to get more information. You're just coming to this path and you want as much information and you want to hear as many shows as you can. In addition to this show, then there's Dr. Ted Watkins as well. So you definitely want to tune into that. That's every Monday. Again, the show is called To Your Health. It comes on every Monday from 2 to 3 on WPFW. I encourage everybody to check that out. Brother Coy is going to be, got a workshop coming up, Health and Wellness, Holistic Health and Wellness Symposium with Dr. Ted Watkins as well as Dr. Ruby Lathan. That's going to be Saturday, June the 17th, and that's going to be at the Metropolitan Outreach Worship Center, and that's located at 9300 Livingston Road in Fort Washington, Maryland. And in case you need to MapQuest that, the zip code is 20744. The theme for this symposium is food, healing, and the brain. We're going to be talking about the relationship between a plant-based nutrition and a healthy brain function. So you don't want to miss that. Many people in our community are dealing with, especially the elders, are dealing with issues such as Alzheimer's, dementia. You've got younger people dealing with depression and even issues with bipolarism and all of these other brain functions. Well, diet plays one huge role in the functioning of the brain. Agreed, Brother Coy?
Agreed. Not only diet, but the food that we eat also plays a lot of a role in a lot of that, because it's so processed these days, and it really interferes with the communication between your brain and your body in a way that it just shuts it down. There's nothing in it that's life, so it just shuts your brain down. It can shut your heart down. It can shut your sex down, and you have to learn how to deal with that so that it don't shut you down.
Hello. Well, everybody, I want to make sure that you know that this symposium is absolutely free. Everybody loves that word, right? It's free.
Yeah.
It is free parking. It's not like you're trying to find a parking place in Georgetown, right? It is free. The parking is free. Plenty of parking. So bring somebody with you. Again, that is Saturday. That's not this Saturday. It's next Saturday. That's Father's Day weekend, June the 17th, from 1 to 5 p.m. at the Metropolitan Outreach Worship Center, and that's at 9300 Livingston Road in Fort Washington, Maryland. Dr. Ruby Lathan, fabulous, fabulous speaker. Dr. Ted Watkins and Brother Coy Dunson, if you heard them on these shows, and you might have heard them on WPFW, but now you get a chance to meet them, okay?
Yeah.
See them up close. Personal, so make sure you're there. Bring somebody. Again, you're gonna. it's one of those things that could change your life. It could really change your life. So, Brother Coy, for all of the work that you've done over the years, again, I mean, just all of the shows you've done with me, just to help spread this information. I want to encourage everybody to go back, scroll back through the archives. We've done shows on how to reverse diabetes, how to reverse high blood pressure, how to cure heart condition, I mean, erectile dysfunction. I mean, you name it, we've talked about it. So scroll through the archives and make sure that wherever you see Brother Coy's names, click and listen and learn. By the way, I have another announcement to make. Tomorrow, got a special show. Going to be talking with Orwa Hehimetaran Comet. He's Paramount King of the Washington, D.C. region of the Osara Society. They've got a workshop coming up on Saturday, Building and Maintaining Spiritual Relationships. So you definitely want to tune in tomorrow to this show, Duanza for Life, from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tell somebody, again, there's going to be a workshop in Washington. Also, that their workshop on relationships is also going to be on Saturday, June the 17th, and Sunday, June the 18th. This is going to be for 2 days. So tune in tomorrow on Friday, and I'll be having Brother Orwa on, and we're going to be talking about the workshop. And I guarantee you, if you never heard about relationships in a way that's going to help enhance yours, maintain yours, and help you to build yours and to prepare for one, if you're not in one, then by all means, tune in tomorrow from 7 to 8. We're going to be talking about their workshop that's going to be on Saturday, June the 17th. Brother Coy, any parting remarks for our listeners concerning Get Your Mind Right, food, fasting, and faith?
Well, I would encourage everyone to come out on the 17th and hear what's going to be going on. You can not only get an example of how to do it, you can also pick up information and take it with you. You can get clear understanding on what's food and what's not, and you can understand how to reverse any condition that you're dealing with in your life in a way that will bring a positive result. So I would encourage everybody to come out to the seminar symposium and learn how to reverse and maintain good health.
Well, Brother Quay, I know somebody wants to get in contact with you. They've heard this show and they've heard other shows, and they're like, you know what, I didn't get his number the last time. Please, give your contact information. Tell us a little bit about your shop, what you do over there.
Well, I'm located at 3923 South Capitol Street, Southwest. I try to practice what I preach. If I say you should be a vegetarian or vegan, I try to provide, we have a restaurant that actually prepares vegan and vegetarian food. We have the supplements that you need to correct the conditions in your body or to give the body what it needs. And we have a little information section where you can pick up books and study a little more if you like to. We can encourage you other places to go. But I'm at 3923 South Capitol Street, Southwest, Washington, D.C., 20032. I'm about maybe 5 miles from where the seminar is going to be, down this 210. That's on the same, right off the same street. But we think we got a good selection of menu here. We try to vary it as much as we can. We do a little raw. We do cook. We do a food that's not only good for you, but it tastes good, and we try to give any assistance that we can to people that are looking for a better way to live or that needs that information to help their family or themselves. So I would encourage anyone to come out to the seminar, to the symposium. Be prepared to learn a lot and be prepared to spend some good time with us. We'll share whatever we can with you and spend as much time as we can with you to answer any questions that you may have. So come on down and be with us that day, and I think it's probably you won't regret it.
No, they won't. They will not regret it. It'll be the best 4 hours they've spent in a long, long time. It's beautiful when you can get around other people that are seeking the same information that you're getting. I mean, when you have people coming together for something like holistic health, that's a beautiful thing. When you see people that are coming together, because that says something. That says that the people that are there, they want to live. You know,
They
really want to live. And that means they said they want to live so much so that they're going to spend an afternoon coming out and fellowshipping basically with other people, sitting and listening and learning with other people about how they can keep this temple running smoothly. So I want to make sure that everybody knows, hey, it is absolutely free. You don't get that nowadays, okay? It's free.
Yeah.
The parking is free. There's no catch. There's no gimmick. Just come on out, learn, and be blessed. My special guest today, everybody, has been King Coy Dunstan, owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. If you have any condition and you want to talk about it, just give my brother a call, 202-562-0041. That's 202-562-0041. Not just talk about it, but if you want to do something about it, give him a call, 202-562-0041. And if you find yourself in Chicago, Alabama, Cleveland, Arkansas, and you can't get to the store, Brother Coy can ship whatever you need to you. Okay, so keep that in mind. Don't let that be an excuse as to not contact him. He can get you whatever it is that you need. You did not hear this show by accident. It's either for you or it's for somebody that you know. Brother Coy, I just want to say thank you again, my brother. I can't wait for the symposium. I'm looking so forward to it, and looking forward to seeing, greeting, and meeting everybody. So make sure you come on out. So, Brother Coy, until the next time, my brother, I just want to say again, thank you for all of your years of patience with us. We can be a hard-headed, stiff-necked people, especially when it comes to food. You know, they used to have this saying back in the day, don't mess with my food, don't mess with my money, and don't mess with my woman. And food was first on the list. You know?
So, that's right. Well, I appreciate what you do, and I pray God bless you and keep you, and that you can continue to spread the word and be an instrument in the hands of God so that people will have a way to know the truth and to set themselves free.
To God be the glory, my brother. Everybody, thank you, brother. I'll be in touch with you. That's King Coy Dunstan, owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. He's been doing this for 37 years, longer than some of you all have been born. So please give him a call, 202-562-0041. Again, that's 202-562-0041. That's Secrets of Nature. You can get all of your holistic health needs right there in one spot, okay? Give him a call. And don't forget to tune in tomorrow. A special guest is going to be Orwa Hehi Metora in Comet. We're going to be talking about how to build and maintain spiritual relationships. You do not want to miss this show. We're going to be telling you about the workshop that the Asara Set Society has at its D.C. Nome also on Saturday, June the 17th, and Sunday, June the 18th. So make sure you tune in tomorrow to hear that show. We'll be having lots of information for you, and it's going to be fabulous. You won't want to miss it. So until the next time, everybody, my name's Juwanza. Who am I? I'm the one who, in giving, receives more. Peace and blessings.